live from the College of Communication, Arts, and Sciences at Michigan State University. It is now time to go beyond the X's and the O's with WKAR's Current Sports.
You want to go after an athlete, one of my athletes, come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Well, I'm the best corner in the game. When you try me with a star receiver like Crabtree, that's the result you're going to get.
Yes, did I express to them I was mad? I was furious. Just furious.
I know my wife will at least shot fake one time.
We talking about practice, not a game.
And I told our players, you need to be more like a dog. We don't need a bunch of cats in here. Looking in the mirror. Do I look good? I got my extra bands on. I got my other shoes on. Be a dog. We don't need no meows. We don't need no cat.
Here's your host, L. Martin.
Beautiful people, welcome to this Tuesday edition of WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin, and we've got another entertaining hour of Current Sports coming your way. I hope you guys are having a fantastic week. Man, I stayed up a little bit too late last night, so I must admit I'm a bit dragging today. I was up last night watching one of my favorite shows on television now, Lovecraft Country. If you have not heard of Lovecraft Country, please do yourself a favor. All of my TV junkies out there, do yourself a favor. Get that HBO subscription or borrow the password from somebody that you know. Sit back, relax, and enjoy such a good and fitting show for our time today. All right, shout out to Jonathan Majors and Journey Smollett, Courtney B. Vance, Michael K. Williams. It's fantastic. Absolutely fantastic. So I was up pretty late watching that, as well as, I really couldn't sleep, to be honest with you guys. I also was up on the sticks playing some Madden NFL football. I just got Madden 21. Lamar Jackson won the cover. A really, really fun game, and I think there are some really great improvements from Madden 20. So, yeah, that's what I did. I'm a gamer as well. You know, I do it all, folks. I do it all. You know, I'm a workout junkie. I love still hitting the court and getting up some shots as Al Jordan. You guys know my number one hobby is golf, is Al Woods. And, yes, I hit the sticks. I have both systems, by the way, as well. So if anybody wants the business, let me know. Oh, boy. Okay, so what's on the docket for today's Current Sports? I want to just, because we're still feeling that hangover, right? Well, not we, you, Detroit Lions fans. I'm feeling the hangover still from what has taken place with my Dallas Cowboys throughout the first 4 weeks of the season. You guys know I'm a diehard Dallas Cowboys fan, and at the end of the day, when comparing my franchise to yours, look, Cowboys historically, you know, certainly a franchise that does not even deserve to be in the same sentence as the Lions. But as far as evaluating the success of my Cowboys with your Detroit Lions, look, there's not much difference this season, all right? So I kind of feel your pain. You know, we still, as Cowboys fans, have much more joy in our lives than Lions fans because we win more. Simple as that. But through the first 4 weeks of the season, we both have the same record. And, you know, on yesterday's Current Sports, I brought up how Matt Patricia, basically, he gave an excuse. He gave a flat-out excuse as to why the Lions are underperforming this season and have underperformed since he got the head coaching job here. Basically saying that, look, everybody, open your eyes. Wake up. Did you see? Did you forget the team that I inherited once I took over this franchise 3 years ago? There was a, quote, a lot of work to do. And that comment has rubbed a lot of people the wrong way. None bigger than former Detroit Lions players. Especially former Detroit Lions quarterback Dan Orlovsky, who is now an analyst for ESPN. He ripped Matt Patricia a new one and basically broke down where the Lions were under Jim Caldwell before the hiring of Matt Patricia happened. So with that backlash, Matt Patricia has kind of cleared up his comments because he heard the backlash. And he wanted to, you know, really just kind of massage things a bit and say, look here, not what I really meant. Let me clarify. It's becoming a PR nightmare right now, though, for the Detroit Lions, if it wasn't already. Matt Patricia just doesn't know how to lead an NFL franchise. He is saying the wrong things right now, in addition to doing the wrong things with that headset on and the pencil between his ear on the sidelines. And the question that I have now is just, you know, when will Matty Patty, when will he run out of chances? Because I do think, I don't know, I'm just going with my gut here. But that win against the Arizona Cardinals, that improbable victory, because that's what the Lions do at the beginning of the year. They find a way to beat an opponent that they're not supposed to beat. Like when will it run out? You know, when will his chances run out? Will he get fired during the year, or will he ride out the season? Because, again, there's something in me, you know, based on that win against Arizona, and they'll find a way to win two more games like that. There's something that tells me he will at least ride out this season. So we'll get to that conversation. I also want to do an NFL Week 4 roundup. There were two games last night. One on the official broadcast of Monday Night Football between the Atlanta Falcons and the Green Bay Packers. And then a game that was supposed to be scheduled for Sunday but had to be moved to Monday night due to the fact that Cam Newton did test positive for the coronavirus. And we saw former Michigan State quarterback Brian Hoyer come in and try and hold down the fort for the New England Patriots, as New England, though, eventually fell to the Kansas City Chiefs. So the final two games for Week 4 were in the books by a little after midnight last night. And I just want to take a broader look at what we've seen so far and what we saw throughout 4 weeks of the NFL year. So we'll get to that. And the NBA Finals are tonight as LeBron James and the Los Angeles Lakers try to hold off the Miami Heat, a team that doesn't go down easily. Evident of that with that last game, right? Jimmy Butler just went off. Jimmy Buckets showed why he is a superstar in this league, completely took the game over and was brilliant. Absolutely brilliant in that triple-double 40-plus point effort. Well, I think it was a 40-point effort for him. So we'll talk NBA Finals as well. If you would like to be a part of the hour, pick up that phone, 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. That is the number that you can call and leave us a voice message at. Go to facebook.com/WKAR News. You can leave us a comment anywhere there on our Facebook page. And you can also tweet us. Tweet the show at WKAR News or tweet me directly at Al Martin, WKAR. Here are your current sports quick hit headliners. All right, let's start here. Michigan football season ticket holders have donated $5.9 million to university athletics. How about that? The department made that announcement yesterday. A graphic posted on Twitter says that 3,580 season ticket holders, which is 16% of all season ticket holders, donated their payments or preferred seat contributions in lieu of a refund or rolling over the payment to next year to the athletic department. Donations range from $75 to all the way up to $38,000, according to Michigan Athletics. The donations aid a struggling department that announced 21 layoffs at the beginning of September, in addition to hiring a hiring freeze, that athletic director Ward Manuel previously said has resulted in 15 unfilled positions. So the athletic department has also implemented, quote, comprehensive salary freezes and salary reductions ranging between 5 and 10% for most employees, while lowering operating and team budgets. And those who have accepted salary reductions include Ward Manuel, head football coach Jim Harbaugh, and men's basketball coach Juwan Howard, who each accepted 10% cutbacks. But, you know, these cutbacks and layoffs are happening across college athletics in our nation. And, you know, you just look at the University of Michigan. I mean, this is a very lucrative athletic department that brings in a ton of money on a yearly basis. If they are going through those kind of layoffs, you can just imagine what's happening at other universities, not named the University of Michigan. So, and it's pretty remarkable that, you know, season ticket holders have donated $6 million, basically. That's pretty insane, right? Man, these season ticket holders have cheese, man. That's amazing stuff. Okay, Matt Patricia, he rubbed a lot of Detroit Lions fans the wrong way when he made comments about the team that he inherited 3 years ago. And yes, he really rubbed former players the wrong way after saying there was, quote, a lot of work to do when he first landed in Detroit. Former Lions QB Dan Orlovsky called Patricia's remarks, quote, a bunch of trash on the Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin show on ESPN. Former safety Glover Quinn, one of the leaders and former coach Jim Caldwell's tenure, he took exception with the fact that Patricia took over a 9-win team. Patricia made the comments when asked why anyone would still believe in him to leave this team immediately after that loss to the Saints. After getting roasted on social media and across the sports morning talk shows, Patricia, he clarified his comments a bit during Monday's media availability, saying, quote, I probably say we got a lot of work to do. I probably say that almost every day, right? I'm pretty sure that's kind of just my general outlook on work, you know? There's always work to do. There's always a lot to be done. Right now, it's about this team. It's about us. It's about going forward. It's about what are we doing this week? What do we do next week when we get to Jacksonville? Just how do we get better? I always just feel there's a lot of work to do. And I think that's just my internal drive every day to try to be the best coach, best whatever it is that day. Like, let's go to work and let's do a lot and try to be the best at it that we can every single day. End quote. So that was a very lengthy quote. As you could hear from me just reading that quote from Matt Patricia, he sounds like a man who just is confused and who is losing a grip on this steering wheel that is leading this car called the Detroit Lions organization. He's losing a grip. He's saying the wrong things. He's offending former players. He's offending current players, I'm sure. I mean, he's just sticking his foot in his mouth at this point, and I think we all know he's not the right guy now. If it wasn't clear before, it's pretty clear now. I have more on that story in just a moment, though. Quick score update from last night's Monday Night Football games. The official Monday Night Football game featured the Atlanta Falcons and the Green Bay Packers in Green Bay, Lambeau Field, as Aaron Rodgers and the Packers made it look easy against Matt Ryan and the Falcons. The Falcons are now 0-4, and there have to be some hard, hard questions asked within that organization right now. Matt Ryan didn't look great. He was 28 of 39. No touchdowns, no picks. I guess that's a good thing. But Aaron Rodgers, at 36 years old, still playing at a high level. 27 for 33, 327, four touchdowns, no picks in that 30-16 win. And prior to that kickoff, we saw the Kansas City Chiefs take on the New England Patriots. That was a 26-10 final, as the Chiefs now move to 4-0. The Pats fall to 2-2, and again, they were without Cam Newton, the star quarterback that they picked up in the offseason because Cam Newton contracted COVID-19. So Brian Hoyer, the former Michigan State University quarterback, he came in. He was just 15 of 24 for 130, had one interception, no touchdowns. Patrick Mahomes, brilliant as always, right? 19 of 29, two touchdowns, no picks. As the Chiefs are undefeated, the reigning Super Bowl champion, Kansas City Chiefs. All right, the Houston Texans. They have fired head coach and general manager Bill O'Brien and named associate head coach Romeo Crennel the team's interim head coach. The McNair family, which owns the team, fired O'Brien after the Texans fell to 0-4 on Sunday, losing to the previously winless Minnesota Vikings. That's right, another former Michigan State QB in Kirk Cousins getting the first win of the Minnesota Vikings season over the weekend against Houston. I'm very surprised that Houston, a very talented football team, is 0-4 right now through the first 4 weeks. O'Brien was hired by the McNair family in 2014 after he spent 2 years at Penn State. In seven seasons in Houston, O'Brien went 52-48 and won four division titles. The Texans, who have never made a championship game in franchise history, came close in January. Houston led 24-0 in the second quarter of the divisional round of the playoffs, before allowing the Chiefs and quarterback Patrick Mahomes to come back and win 51-31. That was quite the comeback, right? Okay, and the Tennessee Titans had no positive COVID-19 test today. That's what sources are telling ESPN. The results follow no positive test on Monday. That means the team can return to the practice facility tomorrow. Now, a total of 20 Titans players and other staff members have returned positive coronavirus tests since September 24th. The NFL announced last week that the game between the Titans and Pittsburgh Steelers in Week 4 was postponed until October 25th. Tennessee is scheduled to host Buffalo in Week 5. 8 players last week, 1 this week, and 11 overall this season. Defensive lineman Jeffrey Simmons, offensive tackle Isaiah Wilson, linebacker Kamale Correa, cornerback Christian Fulton, wide receiver Adam Humphries, defensive lineman Daquan Jones, long snapper Bo Brinkley, wide receiver Cameron Batson, tight end Tommy Hudson, fullback Kari Blasgame, and corner Greg Maben have been placed on the reserve COVID-19 list. And you just wonder now, when you see outbreaks like this happening in the National Football League, and knowing that we are now in October, when medical experts told us that the COVID-19 pandemic was going to hit another level due to it also being flu season, you just wonder how prevalent outbreaks like the ones that we're seeing right now in the NFL, how prevalent they will continue to become. So, I think the NFL is feeling some pressure right now, so much so that NFL commish Roger Goodell is warning the league's 32 teams of penalties, including potential forfeits of games, for violations of COVID-19 protocols that force changes in the schedule. In a memo sent to teams on Monday after a conference call involving NFL and club execs, Goodell reiterated the need to adhere fully to all of the league's health and safety guidelines. Now, he noted that violators of the protocols have been disciplined. Several coaches have been fined $100,000 each, and their clubs fined $250,000 for improper use of face coverings. The Las Vegas Raiders were fined $50,000 for allowing an unauthorized team employee into the locker room following a game. And on Monday, the Raiders had 10 players docked a total of $175,000 for appearing at a function where face coverings were not used, nor was social distancing. Goodell wrote, "Complacency is our shared opponent." Now, look, I don't agree with Roger Goodell on many different things, but he's totally right here. And he's feeling the pressure right now because we are seeing outbreaks in the National Football League. It's not like they are in the, you know, in some kind of bubble like the NBA is. So when you have outbreaks, there is a lot of reason to take it very, very serious. So Goodell sending that warning. All right, and last but not least, the NBA Finals resume tonight as we will see what happens in Game 4. In Game 3, the Miami Heat were able to finally get a win on the board, and they are now within one win of tying this thing up. The Lakers lead the series 2-1, and tip time tonight will occur at 9 p.m. on ABC. Can Jimmy Butler pick up where he left off with that spectacular 40-point triple-double performance in Game 3? We'll see. Right now, the Lakers are listed as 7.5-point favorites in that matchup. All right, that will do it for your current sports quick hits headliners. When we come back, as promised, we'll take a broader look now that all of the NFL Week 4 games are in the books. I will take a broader look at the NFL year through 4 weeks so far. And also Matt Patricia clearing up his comments about the team that he inherited when he took over the Honolulu Blue. That and more, you are listening to the Tuesday edition of WKAR's Current Sports. All right, welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. And at this point, it's just becoming a laughing stock. It really is. It's just comedy at this point. As the Lions continue to do what they do, and that is lose. And Matt Patricia continues to do what he does, and that's not just lose, but then come up with ridiculous excuses as to why they lost. And now he's even taking shots basically at the players and at the organization. After that 35-29 loss to the Saints, Matt Patricia answered a question about why anyone should believe he's still the right coach to turn the Lions around. He went on to say his response was, quote, "When I came to Detroit, there was a lot of work to do. That's what we are trying to do." He's deflecting, basically saying, look, this ain't my fault. Do you know what I inherited when I decided to come here to Detroit to become your head coach? This team was baloney. They were crap. That other brother, cough, cough, Jim Caldwell, he didn't know what he was doing. The cupboard was bare. No, Matty Patty. I mean, at least under Jim Caldwell, we did see a Detroit Lions playoff game. Now, we still haven't seen a Detroit Lions playoff win since I was born in the early 90s, but we did see them at least go to the postseason. But he inherited a 9-17 that was one game away from the playoffs and has run them directly into the ground. And look, Dan Orlovsky is right. You know, if you missed Monday's Current Sports and haven't read or heard what Dan Orlovsky had to say on ESPN's Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin show, he said this: "We were 11-5 in 2014 and a really good football team. In 2015, we go 7-9. It's because we turned the football over. But the last eight games, we were 6-2. So we flipped our season around. Next 2 years, we're 9-7. And I believe in week 17, we were playing the Green Bay Packers for a chance to win the division, okay? So to come in and say you had a lot of work to do is completely false. It's a bunch of trash because that wasn't the case in Detroit." Very true. Dan Orlovsky then goes on to say, "We were a good football team. Matthew Stafford was playing as good as he has in his career, and that's because of Coach Jim Caldwell. And we were an organization that was ascending. He was building. The culture was amazing. The culture was fantastic. So you had a winning record in 3 out of 4 years. The culture was great. Your quarterback was playing really good football. So for him to come in and say there was a lot of work to be done is a bunch of trash." I mean, I really can't. I can't sum it up better than Mr. Dan Orlovsky just did just then, right? He's right. So true. And then Glover Quinn, and we all know when Glover Quinn left his football team, and the reports came out about how that move was met with so much disgust in the Detroit Lions locker room, that's when I really started to really look at Matt Patricia and his leadership, which isn't great. Because that move then turned off Darius Slay, who is a Pro Bowl talent, one of the best Lions defenders in that we've seen play for this organization in a while. Darius Slay was like, "What? Are you serious, Glover?" And now Glover Quinn and Darius Slay, two players, again, no longer a part of this organization. But Glover Quinn also logged on and had a response to Matt Patricia saying that there was a lot of work to do when he got there, saying, quote, "Don't start this mess. You took over a 9-win team. What you mean a lot of work to do?" Laughing emoji, laughing emoji, laughing emoji. Yeah. Anytime you hear a head coach starting to not own up to the debacle that is loss after loss after loss, anytime you hear a head coach, the man in charge, begin to basically blame his shortcomings on other people, other players, just not owning up and taking responsibility, you know that he's not the right man for the job. You know that he is trying to, at this point, he's trying to defend his reputation so that he is looked at as an employable head coach for the future. Look, it's not me. It's this crappy organization that you guys call the Detroit Lions. Do you know what I inherited when I came here? It's just petty. It's petty. And, you know, Patricia is running out of chances. He really is. With the way that he's talking to the reporters and how he is deflecting blame here and not owning up, I wouldn't be surprised if Matt Patricia doesn't make it to the end of the year. He may get Bill O'Brien, you know, unless they go on some kind of crazy, crazy run after the bye week, starting against Jacksonville. Jacksonville, one of the youngest teams in the National Football League, but we don't see that happen. That's not going to happen. That's not going to happen. And I think, you know, I mentioned on Monday's show, Matthew Stafford, how he hasn't played great this season. He hasn't helped. We all know Matthew Stafford isn't the problem with the Detroit Lions. It's much more broader than that. I mean, look at that defense, the offensive line, the lack of pass rush. I mean, I could go on and on and on. You know, I'm one of those who believe that if Matthew Stafford was with another organization, I mean, Matthew Stafford would have some playoff wins under his belt and may have sniffed a Super Bowl at least one or two times with a better team. But he plays for the Detroit Lions. But, you know, Matthew Stafford, I think right now is, you know, he's getting paid a lot of money, still as the franchise quarterback. I think he's just kind of going through the motions now. He's just treading water. He knows how bad this team is. He's just collecting checks and trying to go out there and do the best that he can. But he's not a spring chicken anymore. He's endured so many injuries. Play with a broken back, for goodness sake. I always say that because it's just a testament to just how tough he is. I really admire Matthew Stafford a lot. But right now it just seems like he's just going through the motions. So I don't know now if Matt makes it through the year. You know, I think that percentage of likelihood that he doesn't is going up. It really is, because it's becoming a straight up comedy show every single week. And if they do fire him, I mean, you want to do your due diligence to make sure that you don't rush the next guy in, and you do your interviews so that you make sure you get the right guy, because clearly you jacked this up. Simple as that. And Bob Quinn has to go too. You know, Sheila Ford taking over now for Martha Ford. You know, I hope Sheila Ford understands this. But again, it's the Ford family. That's the big problem. That is the problem. We all know that. The ownership of this team just doesn't know what they're doing. But yet, you know, they still want to own an NFL team. They always say, look, owning the Detroit Lions, this is a family business. So they're not giving up ownership. That just won't happen. So you got to deal with it and just hope and pray that Sheila Ford makes some tough decisions that will help this franchise have a chance at winning in the future. That's all you can hope for, because as far as giving up ownership from the Ford family, it's not going to happen. So, you know, if Matt Patricia is let go during the year, they'll have an interim head coach before they hire someone permanently. Now, that could be Lions offensive coordinator Daryl Bevel. You know, that's 20 years of NFL experience there. That will be the logical choice to take the helm of the franchise, although he's never held a head coaching position before. What is the Detroit Lions? I mean, again, you're just trying to get somebody in there to hold down the fort while you conduct interviews. And the offense has sputtered to start the season. You know, I thought that maybe Daryl Bevel could come in here and add some creative things and a dynamic offense, but we haven't really seen it so far this season. You know, the offense is sputtered. The run game, specifically the addition of Adrian Peterson, that has been a bright spot, I must say. AP has shown us that he's still got a little left in the tank, right? But, you know, it's just not a great offense. But he would be the logical choice here to replace him. Also, I was thinking about Braden Combs. You know, Combs is 33 years old. He's very young. You know, he to take the reins of the Lions franchise as he's still in his first season as a special teams coordinator, I don't know. If you're looking to jumpstart a budding coaching career and willing to give a chance to an unproven 33-year-old head coach hoping to find, like, the next, what, Sean McVay? Combs could be a choice. I don't know. Again, you just, it really doesn't matter, though, right? I mean, you're just basically trading water until the season ends. You want to rack up as many losses as you can, try and get that high draft pick, cough, cough, Trevor Lawrence, and just see what happens. And still, you could have had Tua Tagovailoa as well. And the Dolphins are still being stubborn and saying that Tua isn't the guy yet. You know, Ryan Fitzpatrick is still the starting quarterback over Tua Tagovailoa, but yeah, I don't know how long that's going to last. But that's just a sidebar. Urban Meyer's name has been thrown around. there's no bigger name than Urban Meyer. You know, I've seen so many blogs talk about this. Urban Meyer, sitting on that desk being an analyst. Don't get me wrong, I think Urban Meyer is pretty good. He's better than I thought he would be as a football analyst. But he's pretty good. Not bad. I think he's a guy who still has a lot of head coaching ambition within him. And, sitting at a desk just talking about the game, I don't know how much that's doing to his football soul right now. He wants to get back out there on the sideline. You know, and adding someone as high profile as Meyer, man. What if they added him during, like, midseason? Fire Matt Patricia, bring in Urban Meyer. That could set the Lions up nicely come this offseason. I don't know. I would like that. I think Urban Meyer's a great, football coach. People say, oh, well, what about the transition from the college game to the NFL game? I just think Urban Meyer knows football. And that kind of personality is that no-nonsense kind of personality, and you look at all his achievements in college football, just completely legendary. You know, he's known for his time as head coach for Ohio State and Florida. 3 national championships. Never posted a losing record his entire college career. In fact, in his 7-year tenure at Ohio State, the team had an incredible win-loss record of 83-9. Isn't that, that's mind-boggling, right? 83-9 during his watch. So, and again, he's 56 years old. That's not old at all. And, he's still, I get it. He does have these health concerns. That's why he retired 2 years ago. But he said himself that he'd consider coming to the NFL if it were a team like, how about them Cowboys? That's right, my Dallas Cowboys. He made that comment. Remember that, okay, yeah, if the Cowboys came to me and offered me a job, I would have to think about that. Because it's the Dallas Cowboys. If the Lions said, hey, we'll give you the keys to this car in total control of the team, how appetizing would that be for Urban Meyer? I don't know. Just a thought. Marvin Lewis is also a name you can throw out there as well. Just a flurry of NFL coaching candidates to consider, though. I mean, Bill Cowher, Jeff Fisher, Tony Dungy, Marvin Lewis is a name you think about. He coached the Cincinnati Bengals for 16 years. It's amazing that, he was able to stay there for 16 years and have the mediocrity that he had. 131 and 122. That was his final record as head coach of Cincinnati, a 51% win percentage. He's soon to be 62 years old. He did interview for the head coaching job with my Dallas Cowboys prior to Mike McCarthy landing the gig in January. I just don't know. Marvin Lewis, that's just a possibility people have brought out. But wouldn't it be something? I think this would make Lions fans very happy. If the Lions acknowledge that we did this brother wrong, yes, you know where I'm going. We did this brother wrong. He had the most success of a Detroit Lions coach since like the 90s. And we let him go thinking that he wasn't the right guy to finally get us over that hump. What if they brought Mr. Jim Caldwell back? Who would be opposed to that? Who would say, no, we don't want to go backwards like that? What? Backwards? I mean, in his final year, again, a 9-7 season-ending record. You had a chance to make the playoffs if you could have just beaten Green Bay. But after that 9-7 season, he was fired, replaced with Matty Patty, who has just posted 9 total wins since 2018 when Jim Caldwell had that many wins in 1 year, in his final year. I would love that. I don't know. You know, stranger things have happened. It's the year of COVID. Anything can happen. He would certainly have his supporters in the locker room. You know, the players loved playing for Jim Caldwell. You know, the rapport was so high. Morale was high. I would love that. But that's just me in dreamland, wishing and hoping. Who would you like to see? Well, I got two questions that you guys can leave us a voicemail at 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Do you want to see Matt Patricia coach the rest of the year? Or do you want to see some kind of firing happen before the season ends? And who would you like to see replace Matt Patricia? 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Let's hit our final break. I'm going to come back, take a broader look at the NFL after week 4, and just some brief thoughts and comments on the NBA Finals. Game 4 tonight at 9 p.m. You are listening to WKAR's Current Sports. Hey, beautiful people. It's Al Martin, your host of WKAR's Current Sports. Back at it here. You know, this is, I also want to mention this. This is because it's a pretty big day. Normally, I'm not a big birthday guy. You know, I don't really celebrate my birthday. You know, I don't know. I just always been like, well, I just chill. You know, last year, I turned 29. And this is how I celebrated. I washed my car. You know, I love my car. Washed my car, you know, detailed it, basically. And then I came home for a second. Went back out, drove to Meijer, and I got me some vision board materials. I made myself a vision board while watching one of my favorite movies of all time, Creed, starring Sylvester Stallone and Michael B. Jordan. That's what I did last year for my birthday. But, you know, this is my final day in my 20s. Which is pretty wild to think about. Now, I'm 29, and at midnight, October 7th, will pop up on that calendar, and I will be officially starting my 30s, which is just, I don't know, it's just pretty crazy to say, man, when I think about that. So, this is my final day in my 20s. My 20s have been good to me, and I'm looking forward to my 30s being even greater, all right? So I'm just kind of soaking that in. I'm just letting that thought wash over me right now, okay? final segment here on the show, I do want to talk about the NBA Finals. And I got to admit, you know, I'm a big NBA junkie. You guys know that. I'm a big NBA fan. But, you know, there's something about this finals that, you know, when you look at the Miami Heat versus the LA Lakers, you know, we all as basketball fans had so much hope that we would see, going back to the conference finals, we would see the Battle of LA, right, take place. You know, and I thought, okay, whoever gets past that, you know, that would have been so fun to watch. You know, Boston, you know, Boston's just such an entertaining team, and I love watching Jason Tatum. But the fact that it's Lakers Heat, and when you look at what happened in those first two games, I mean, I was sitting there half asleep on those first two games. And it was just one of the most boring first two games of the NBA Finals. And I thought prior to Game 3, I thought this was going to be an easy sweep. I thought this was going to go down as the easiest, you know, Finals run. I still think it will be. I still think the Lakers will win in five games. But, I didn't think that the Heat would win a game. But then Jimmy Butler showed up and did what he did in that last game. It was special to watch that. It really was. But can he do it again? And then you look at the injuries to Goran Dragic and then Bam Adebayo. And I just said to myself, what in the world? And look, LeBron, AD, and the Lakers, they have had such an easy run to the finals. I'm just hoping that the Heat can even this thing up. I was totally shocked at what Jimmy was able to do. You know that Frank Vogel, I think Frank is a great coach. He's going to make some adjustments to try and slow down Jimmy, and other guys got to step up. But I'm hoping this series gets tied, and I'm hoping that we have an entertaining series moving forward. One that doesn't just go five games. I want to see six or seven games, right? We all want to be entertained. And, you know, I've gotten this question a lot, you know, especially from the LeBron stands. Don't get me started on how annoying they are. LeBron James stands just kill me. Those diehards kill me. You can't say anything ill about LeBron James or they're ready to throw them bows. You know what I mean? It's just like, dude, chill, relax. I understand you love LeBron. He ain't the GOAT, though. I'm not going to get on that conversation right now. Well, I will, because that's where I was headed, actually. You know, people have come up to me and asked me, or messaged me, I should say, on social media, keep your distance, social distance, mask up. Al, if LeBron wins this year, if he gets his you know, what is this? This will be LeBron's fourth ring, right? Let me just make sure. I believe it's his fourth ring. Yeah, he's got three right now. And this will be number four. He won two with the Heat in 2012 and 2013. And then, of course, that third championship as the Cleveland Cavaliers came back to beat the Golden State Warriors. If LeBron gets his fourth, Al, will you bump him over Michael Jordan? That's a heavy no. I will not. He's lost too many times. Way too many times. And to me, you know, he hasn't proven that he can just lead a championship team by himself. Now, people would argue, oh, wow, MJ had Pippen, and he had, you know, yeah, nobody wins a championship on their own. But, you know, LeBron hopping around and linking up with all these superstars, I mean, it just turns me off. LeBron, don't get me wrong, he's great. He's one of the greatest ever. On my personal list, LeBron James will go down as the second greatest basketball player of all time. But I'm not putting him against, you know, I'm not putting him above, I should say, Michael Jordan. Just watch The Last Dance. I don't need to go into that. But I'm just hoping for a great series here. You know, Jimmy Butler, keep doing what you do, brother. I want to see this thing go as far as it can go. And tonight, why not? I am going to choose the Heat to beat the Lakers by 7 points. And the Lakers are favored by 7 in the hook, but I'm going the other way here. More so with my heart than my head. So again, that tip time is at 9 p.m. Tonight. Tomorrow, I guess I'll save my broader look at the NFL right now through 4 weeks, you know, because I do want to comment on, you know, Drew Brees, you know, showing that he has still got a rocket of an arm. I think the Indianapolis coach have the best defense in the league right now. Joe Burrow looking like the real deal. Myles Garrett and his amazing, amazing play. Just so many intriguing storylines happening around the league right now. I'll get to that on tomorrow's Current Sports on the Hump Day edition of the show. But until then, we are on a 23-hour break. Be smart, be safe, and as always, be easy, people.